everybody. It's KYW Community Affairs reporter Cherry Gregg. I am so excited to introduce you to one of this year's 2019 Game Changers in Black History Month. Ms. Carla Clanigan is the founder of In His Eyes Outreach and does some amazing work in and around Montgomery County helping women who are incarcerated or formerly incarcerated. Here is my interview with Carla. Check out the stories of all of the KYW News Radio Game Changers of Black History Month honorees at kywnewsradio.com/gamechangers.
My name is Carla Clanigan, and I'm the founder and executive director of In His Eyes Outreach, which is a reentry nonprofit organization.
So what problem did you see that you wanted to solve with In His Eyes Outreach?
I started working with women who were coming out of prison because I met a woman who had been in and out of jail since she was about 18 and she was in her 30s. And in having a quick conversation with her, she was explaining how there's no one helping them. They go in and out. There's no help in the jail. There's no help outside of jail. No one is helping them to kind of work through their sobriety as well as their recidivism.
Yeah. And what did you find about these women? Because clearly this is, they're not, they had some issues that if they were able to deal with, probably wouldn't have been in jail in the first place.
Yeah. What I found is they just need someone to continue to be consistent in their lives and encourage them. They keep going in and out of jail, not necessarily because of a new crime, but it's because they can't get off of probation. And so they can go through years of jail just being on probation because they keep violating with really minor violations, not reporting. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with the drug and alcohol issue. And we're working as a society on the drug and alcohol issue, but the problem is we're dealing with that. We're not dealing with why they started using the drug. So if we don't get to the root of the problem, that drug and alcohol issue remains a longer problem than it needs to be.
And so do you help them?
We do. We do. We kind of mentor them and help them receive resources, like give them resources to receive help in child abuse, molestation, rapes, abuse, abandonment. And all of those things probably happened prior to them becoming a teenager. And so now they have all of this trauma that no one knows what to deal with. And just recently, the government and the society and the communities are talking about trauma-informed care. But when I started this in 2007, no one was, like, trauma wasn't necessarily the buzzword yet. And so as a mentor and running this program, I had my people work with them to get counseling, one-on-one counseling.
So people were not dealing with the issue of trauma.
Yes. People were not dealing with the issue of trauma, and they were looking at the symptom. They were looking at, oh, they committed a crime. They, you know, have a drug and alcohol issue, some sort of addiction. They don't have any support. You know, they were raised in a bad environment. They were raised in, quote unquote, the ghetto. They were raised in a bad household. But the truth is they experienced some trauma early in their life that led them down this path. So that criminal act is a symptom of something that they were dealing with.
Yeah. And so how do you help them through that?
Whew. So what I do is our mentoring program, we go into the jail and we meet with the ladies. We actually do men also, because when I started working with the ladies, I realized that most of them are connected to a guy who's in jail. So we actually work with everyone. So when the mentoring program first started, we go into the jail, meet with the group, kind of get to know them, have our mentors trained on the outside, bring them together, pair them up, allow them to see if they have a connection. Because it doesn't work if they don't have a connection with the person I connect them with. And most times they do. And the mentor begins to see them once a week in the jail and develop their own relationship with them and start mentoring them. And then the purpose of that is to build a relationship so that when they get out, they have a lot of things in place already. So we really were working hard to have counseling on the outside, NAAA, Celebrate Recovery, whatever their recovery journey was to look like, whatever they preferred, we were working with them. We built relationships with the adult probation of Montgomery County, as well as the courts. And so we were just very active in their lives and working alongside of probation as a team now. Because in mental health, you have a treatment team. But in criminal justice, you don't have a treatment team. Mm-hmm. So we worked as a team with the county probation department and really worked with that individual to get them the resources that they need, stay in contact with them, work alongside of them, help them get a job, help them learn how to keep a job, and make sure that they're attending everything they need to attend as far as, you know, meeting with their probation officer, seeing their counselor, seeing a psychiatrist, working with NA or, you know, those recovery support systems, mm-hmm. and just really being consistent with them. And all of a sudden, we started noticing that it's working. And people are not committing crimes to go back to jail. They're following their probation. And so that grew and grew and grew to the point where Montgomery County now does a lot of reentry work. I mean, there's a lot more to be done, but we really helped to start that ball rolling, and people are getting help now.
Yeah, and so how big is your team?
Whew. So our team is all volunteers, mm-hmm. and we started off with a team of 10, and we probably have about 35 volunteers at any given time. But again, it's all volunteers, so they come and go.
They come and go.
Yeah, the mentoring program now has been able to kind of take a back seat to what's happening at the jail because of some other things that we were able to help initiate. Now there's like a lot of, the jail is on board with reentry, the mm-hmm. county is on board with some of the reentry, and we've kind of passed the buck and took a step back and are doing a little bigger, like we kind of expanded a little more.
And so how big of an impact do you think you've had? If you say, oh, we've probably touched this many women.
Oh, we've touched hundreds. Yeah. We probably do at least 100 a year, mm-hmm. whether it's by personal contact, phone contact, or by notes, you know, by writing, yeah. because we work with a lot of women who start off in our county but end up in Muncie. And we work with women, just because you're in our county jail does not mean you're a resident of Montgomery County. So we work with all the counties. We work with Philadelphia County, Chester County, and Bucks County.
Yeah. And so did you notice, you noticed that once the women started going through, because it sounded like a lot of work for an individual woman. Because, I mean, I think about if I had to go to a probation officer and a counselor and an NA meeting and a da-da-da-da, and then if you got kids or you trying to work.
We work with reunifying them with their families, and that's a big, big piece, which is how we ended up getting the children's visiting, the family visitation room at the jail.
So you got that? Mm-hmm. Did that not exist before?
Mm-mm.
So what did they have before?
So before, you would come in and bring, you know, go through the process of being searched and everything. The kids would get searched, go through the electronic doors, and go to the visiting room at a table like this that's stable on the floor and sit. You know, you can greet the person, so you hug them, but you have to sit down. The kids have to sit down and you have to be still. What we did is, when I was an instructor assistant at Cabrini College, they did, there was a senior level class, ECG, Engagement of the Common Good 300, that I was able to teach. And that part of that is Inside Outside program, which is at a temple. So we would go take students into the jail, work with a selected few inmates, and work with them. So their final project for, you know, finals week, they had to do a project. Their project was to do research on the effects of children who have parents in jail and what that does to the mother as well as the children. So they did all of this research and came up with the fact that mothers are losing custody of children while they're in jail, mm-hmm. and they don't have big relationships with their families when they're in jail, mm-hmm. Because your families can't get to them. They're, you know, they're far away.
The women are the ones who've taken the kids.
Right. So you take the woman away, then you got like a grandmother or an aunt or some, usually an elderly person taking care of these kids. So who's going, they can't get them to the jail, especially not Montgomery County. From Philly to Montgomery County, that's a lot of bus. So what we did with that research is put it out there to the chaplain at the jail and the community saying, I really want to do this playroom. So I visited Allegheny County Jail, and they had something similar where the mothers can kind of go through these to visit their kids in like this playroom. They had a little bit of toys in their waiting room, and it made it a little easier for the kids. So I went there, brought them here to see our space, came up with a whole plan. This is the calling that's on my life. So God gives me all of this, everything is inspired by Him. And so I put it out there. I had a church respond to the jail saying, We kind of like this. We're looking for some project to do for our church in the jail. The chaplain called me. He's like, Carla, I think you found your people. I met with that church. Their community came together. The warden asked me to pick a room, whatever room I wanted to turn into the children's playroom. I picked a room. The church funded it. We bought toy. I went toy shopping, book shopping, bookcases. Got it all done. Found an artist who helped the inmates do murals on the wall to make it all nice and pretty for kids. And then Family Services got them to come in because I was teaching a Parenting Inside Out class for them. Got them on board. And so we said, the women who attend the class and finish their parenting class can have these special visitations with their kids. Mm. And that's how it works now. And, you know, for a while, for probably about a year, I worked with, I was one of the ones who would sit there while they play, you know, they do their thing.
Yeah,
and then finally, everything that I've done wasn't to get recognition. It was to get the stuff up and running in the jail. So as things come together, I was stepping back a little more, because I've always had a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And so the more I could step back and let people who can actually do this for their work, mm-hmm. I let them do it once I got it going.
It's like you plant the seed and grow it to be strong.
Sustainable, and then I step back. Yep.
Yeah.
And so now the county's involved, and women who have children that are on the border of getting their children taken from them can now do the parenting class, do the monitored playtime, and that counts as visitation with children's and youth services. And they keep their custody.
Wow, while they're in prison.
While they're in prison. They don't get that, you know, that paperwork that says, you have now lost custody of your children.
Oh my goodness. And so how long often do they have to visit with them?
Whatever children and youth, their rules keep changing, so I'm not aware of how often they have to do the visits. Mm-hmm. I know we were doing them every week.
So as long as the kids could get there, they could use that room and take the class.
Yes. And even the social workers at Children and Youth Service, you know how they have visitation with their parents? So the social worker was bringing them. Mm-hmm. So it didn't have to be a family member.
Wow.
It depends on where their case was in the social service, you know, in the social service environment.
Did it help keep families together?
It definitely did.
And so, and then you also started a choir.
I loved our choir. Mm-hmm. So
I love it.
So I was teaching Bible study at the jail, and in teaching Bible study, you know, we're always singing, and I can't sing. So it became like a joke. Like I would start a song and they would be singing, but I noticed they love to sing. And so I was like, how do you guys feel about a choir? They were like, oh my God, we would love to have a choir. So I contacted one of the lieutenants and talked to her about it. Of course, I talked to the warden about it. And he's used to me just bringing ideas. Just, okay, Carla, what's next? And Lieutenant Hardaway said that she would kind of be the one overseeing it to get them to practice. So we set it up. We picked the girls. They, you know, they had to meet the qualifications, no misconducts. They had to be on good behavior and that stuff. But then we picked them. She would bring them together to meet and have practice like once or twice a week. And then they would perform. We came up with concerts where wow. I got permission to invite outside people in the jail for their concerts. Mm-hmm. And so I would and put it out there to the local community that this is happening. Come see the ladies. And we started doing a couple concerts here and there. And they did like a Christmas show, a Christmas concert, and they loved it and the people loved it. And we only stopped that because Lieutenant Hardaway left and I couldn't find a replacement, because you really need someone in the jail, an officer in the jail, to be committed to this. Mm-hmm. Because Lieutenant Hardaway had a relationship with the ladies in such a way where she could discipline them in a manner that they need it.
Yeah.
To let them know, like, this is a big deal. Let's do this. But you guys got to maintain when you're out there on the pod. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't found an officer to be able to keep that going.
How long did you guys have the choir?
We did have a name. Couple years. It did not have a name. It was just called the Montgomery County Correctional Facility Women's Choir. They didn't give themselves a name, which now that you mention it, I'm surprised they did it, because they're full of ideas.
And so there's only one Montgomery County Correctional Facility, and where is that located?
It's located in Eagleville.
And so you were going all the way out to Eagleville.
Yeah. Yep. I was going to Eagleville. So what I did is I was teaching Bible study every Monday. I was doing probation assessments every Friday. And what that is I worked with the probation department to say, everyone coming out of jail this month, we need to develop a discharge plan. And they were like, well, if you want to develop one, do it. And so I did it. So every Friday evening, I spent my Friday nights in the jail meeting with everyone that was getting out that month. And coming up with a plan for when they get out.
And so none of this, you don't get paid for this?
No.
So how do you fund this?
I don't. Everyone's a volunteer. I volunteer all of my time. It's my family, like my money, which is why I have a full-time job.
Yeah, and so what is your day job?
Then or now? When I first started this, my day job was a county employee. Mm-hmm. But currently I am a program director for a safe house for victims, I say survivors, of human trafficking.
Wow.
And it's located at the corner. I mean, not at the corner, but it's a safe house, so I can't say where it's located, but it's on the tip of Montgomery and Bucks County.
Yeah, and why were you attracted to a job like that?
Because I noticed that a lot of the women that I was like in my mentoring program, they have so many petty crime charges. Small retail theft, prostitution, escorting, simple drug charges. And in mentoring them and having conversations with them and learning about their life, most of them were being sexually exploited by a guy, a boyfriend. And so when learning about human trafficking, because I went to this conference and they started talking about it, I kind of brought that back to Montgomery County, had a whole human trafficking awareness event, and really felt like that's what's really happening, and we're missing it because we're focusing on the actual crime and the addiction. But we're not focusing on the fact that they're saying, I slept with people so that my boyfriend and I can have drugs. And then learning about human trafficking, I'm like, did you do it because you wanted to, or did you do it because the boyfriend said, this is what you got to do to help feed our drug habit? And it was like, no, it was his idea. Of course it was, because you're supplying something for him. So I seen this job opening at the Well, and I went there and got hired as a house coach at first, and they immediately changed my position to house manager, and now I'm the program director.
You moved up, and how long?
I've been there for 1 year.
So you just got to, they kept promoting you, Carla.
They kept
promoting you. What kind of person are you, would you say you are?
I am a visionary. I am a think out of the box person. I feel like if you were to say, Carla, you know what? I was really thinking about having this kind of program or doing this kind of work. I'm like, come on, let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm definitely someone that would exhort you and just put you out there. Yeah. Like, I feel like we should just try it. What's the worst that could happen? It doesn't work.
So what motivates you?
God.
Yeah.
Yep. I spent a lot of time in my life just not realizing who I was or where I fit in. And once I got that figured out, I just don't stop. I keep moving. Yeah. And my family's super supportive.
Are you married?
I'm married. I've been married for 24 years.
Wow.
I'm married and I have two kids in college.
And so, how do you, I mean, you spend your Friday nights. I know your husband's like, yes, he's down at the jail.
My husband's super supportive. He understands that this is the calling that God. I went to school to Penn State for nursing. Mm-hmm. And health policy and administration. Then I went to nursing school. So I'm a nurse. This work, there's no way that I could have accomplished what I've accomplished and done the work that I've done without God. I've had doors open up for the outreach and for me to do this kind of work to reach ex-offenders that no one has ever been able to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm blessed, and I feel like because I'm blessed and my family's blessed, this is what we do. My kids have always been a part of what I do. At Christmas time, we adopt about 150 kids, and we supply all of their Christmas. And so just me, my husband, and my kids, and sometimes like a neighbor.
Yeah.
We get a U-Haul truck. I collect donations. Used to fill my house, but now we fill a storage unit. And I get all of these toys donated to us, and I get families referred to us. I take care of the ladies in the jail who have kids, and then other people in the communities that just need stuff for their kids, can't afford it, working check to check, and we supply their Christmas.
And so you literally have impacted hundreds of women bars, but then if you add the kids.
Oh, we do. We started off with 8 families, mm-hmm. and now we're up to 150.
And now how many years?
We've been doing the children's program since 2009, I believe.
So over the past 10 years.
Eight families of the women in my Bible study class to just affecting the community.
So your reach is huge.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about it, it's a little overwhelming, but yes, I don't really think about it. I just do it. So when people talk about it and put me on the spot, it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah. And when you think, what does it mean? Like if you were to finish a sentence, I'm changing a game by.
I am changing the game by being accessible to those people in the community who are considered nobodies or throwaways or not important. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal. My goal is to reach those people who people don't want to deal with.
Yeah. And what does it mean to you? You're a game changer. You're a KYW game changer.
That
means you are significantly impacting communities of color. Did you ever sit back and just think?
I've never. I never think about it until someone wants to interview me. And a few years ago, I won an award at Cabrini. And that was super overwhelming. And this is just as overwhelming. Because I don't think about it. I just do the work. I don't think about it. I just do it. And when someone says, "You're doing what?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, doesn't everyone do this? Mm-hmm. But no, I don't think about it. So to be a game changer, a KYW game changer, is an amazing, awesome thing. And it's quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's humbling. Like, I don't know. That's a lot.
Well, congratulations to you. And I mean, when people think of Montgomery County, they think of affluence. They think of all these things. They don't think about the people that you are working with.
Right. Right. And that was my goal from the beginning. My goal when I started this nonprofit was to bring awareness to a group of individuals who, with the help, could change their lives. And my goal had always been for the county to grab a hold of reentry holistically to make a change in our county and our county jail to decrease that population.
Do you see the change?
I do. We definitely in our county have made significant. I mean, when I first started, it was just me. And I appreciate the opportunities that I've had to go into the jail and create a lot of programs and do a lot of work and bring a lot of organizations on board with me. But at the same time, there's so much more work to be done. We have to no longer look at the symptoms of being arrested and being put in jail and dealing with the addiction at surface. We have to figure out how to deal with the trauma that affected them, that led them down the road to addiction and incarceration.
Yeah, that's real. That's very real. And because when you think Philly gets a lot of attention for all the reentry programs.
Right.
But I rarely hear about what's happening outside of Philadelphia. Mm-mm. And that, you know, and I got to ask you, because just earlier this week, there was the Senate Bill 14 introduced into the Pennsylvania Senate. Bipartisan support. People have said they have enough votes to pass, but it's probation reform to cap probation for misdemeanors, felonies. Give people less time for good behavior. What do you think about it?
I think that it's necessary. Our jails are filled with people who can't seem to get off probation. But at the same time, it's a little scary for someone who works in it, just because I don't think we always recognize that that's great. They don't have to serve jail time. But are we giving them the other help that they need? Because it's about sustaining the family. It's great that she doesn't have to go to jail, but what about her interaction every day with her kids and her family? Is there help for her there?
The wraparound service.
Yes. Yeah. It's like we have to have wraparound services. We have to create these treatment teams and just supportive communities that we're making sure that people get the help that they need. And in order to do that, we have to look at usually the trauma that happened prior to whatever the, you know, whatever the outcome was as far as jail goes.
Yeah. And my final question to you is, what's your vision for your organization?
I really want to be able to go around the country and help organizations and churches and communities welcome people back from jail, as well as motivate people who have criminal records. I would love to go into different jails and speak to the women in particular about what they can do even with that criminal record, because so many still believe they can't vote. They can't get a good job. They can't, you know, get their children back. I've seen all of those things happen. I have worked with a client who had a murder conviction. I have worked with him and he has a job. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get someone to believe in you in order to sometimes start believing in yourself. And so my goal for NSI's outreach really is to become a consultant throughout the country and helping people work with ex-offenders.
So you're not stopping anytime soon.
Oh, no, 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 no. Nope. Too much work to be done until, like, we're not arresting people and our jails are getting smaller and not bigger.
Yeah
definitely.
All right, Carla.
Thank you so much for tuning in. All of the Game Changers honorees will be featured on KYW News Radio beginning on February 11th, 2019. You can find them on air. That is 1060 AM on your radio dial. You can also listen via live stream at kywnewsradio.com. We also have their stories featured throughout the month at kywnewsradio.com/gamechangers. You can also check them out at CBS3 Eyewitness News every Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. during the month of February. You can see some of their stories there. Thank you so much for listening. This is KYW Community Affairs Reporter Cherry Gregg. Happy Black History Month.